Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Well, I'm in this position because it was a line of... servants that were asked to volunteer for this. And as, usually I'm very slow with that. And you know how that goes. Everybody goes backwards and you were left in front. So here I am. And unlike Moses, I do not have a brother, Aaron, to speak for me. So here we go. First slide, please. I told Pastor Gary that he, and by the way, let me back up a little bit. He is in Toronto. He's on his way for Russ's wedding. So he'll marry them and they'll come back down here for Sunday. So Russ and his bride and pastor head back and they'll be here Sunday morning. Yeah.
Oh, she did go. Okay, and I just want to say that she is going to have a cake on Sunday since Russ is coming back on Sunday. And we would just like to remember him and his new bride. So if you want to think you want to bring a card or whatever, you know, and just give it to him and let him know that we appreciate his service in Israel. And thank God for him getting married. He went through the grieving process through our class and it was really rough, but he made it through and God is moving him on to the next step.
Don't anybody know her name? Karen? Karen. Okay, hopefully, well, I know the Holy Spirit is gonna do something here because this is a subject I just finished the book. And meditated on it a few days, and there's so much in there that you guys know, but it goes beyond what we know. It's about exercising the authority that was given to us, and we don't exercise it as a rule in most churches. We just don't. So the book is called The Believer's Authority, and I recommend it really. It's a short read. Kenneth Hagin wrote it. He passed away a while back. And these are my notes and my highlights and my meditations on the subject. Next slide. So, whether you realize it or not, okay, because you are born again, Holy Spirit is in you, you are seated at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. And authority belongs to you, whether you realize it or not. You know this very well. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's Hosea 4:6. And this is something that I hope, hopefully, as I go on here, a lot of this stuff will sink in and you'll be motivated to dig deeper on this. Because Jesus said to us, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You will be free once you understand this subject. This subject really hits to the root of the power that Jesus left us with. So, what is authority? Jesus said, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on servants, on serpents and scorpions." He really meant power of the devil, demons, evil spirits, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. The spirits are subject to us. Okay? He left us with that authority. But rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, don't get cocky. Don't, you know, you have this awesome power. You have to have discernment and know when to use the power. There are times that you are not going to be able to do what you think you ought to be able to do with that authority. And we'll get into some of that. But authority is delegated power. When Jesus rose, and we'll get into that again, but we went up with him as born again, as saved believers. We are seated next to the throne of God. Okay, so Jesus is the head of the church. We are his body, and he tells us that many times. Many times in Scripture do we see that. So the source of our authority is from God the Father himself. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He raised us up together with Jesus and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So when he raised Jesus up, he took us up with us. He saved us at that moment. You got to realize that this is something that warps my mind, okay? Because time doesn't apply to God. He did this when Jesus was resurrected. But he did this for us. Back 2,000 years ago, we were taken up. Even though our trespasses were still there, he forgave us. He took us up with Jesus. And he made us sit together. So the head, which is Christ, and the body, the church, were raised together. The authority of the head is also delegated to the body of Christ. So if you think about in the natural, a head cannot really accomplish much. You need the body to do things for the head. The head, you know, tells the body what to do, but without the body, the head really can't get much accomplished. This happens to be true spiritually, which to me is amazing that Jesus will not do certain things that they've delegated for us to do, because I guess the laws and rules that God establishes, he doesn't break. Okay. This idea has caused some cults to come along, by the way. And Kenneth Hagin talks about a particular instance where a minister began thinking that we are the body of Christ, we're seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he got as far as thinking that way to think that we are God. Wrong. Okay. And as a result, he had some followers that followed him and worshiped the man, that minister. So that's why Kenneth warns us, maintain balance. Only in Christ do we have authority. So how do we exercise authority? It's by our command. We don't pray to God to do what he has given us the authority to do. He won't do that. In a minute or two, I'll read you a vision that Kenneth Hagin had. And he's a man that had many, many visions. He's got books on his visions. And they're very revealing. I intend to get deeper and read more about what he's done, the visions that he's had. But in this particular instance, he has a vision that lasted over an hour, him talking with Jesus. That I'm having a conversation. So he talks about it here, and I'll read it in a minute. So you exercise your authority by command, by having faith. And he says, be moved by what you believe. This struck me. Be moved by what you believe, not by what you see or feel. You might have fear. You might have anger. You might have regrets. You might think that God is not near you. You're overdue for what you've been asking for. But you have to be driven or moved by your belief, the belief that we are saved, we're seated next to Christ, next to God, in the throne of God. So that's the very first thing. Don't be double-minded. Just have faith and be moved by what you believe, not by what you see or feel. The work of Christ, this is how authority is exercised. The work of Christ and the Father is carried out through the body of Christ. Okay, they will not interfere on earth. From the very beginning with Adam, God told us that he gave Adam dominion over the earth that he created, the universe that he created. Well, he gave it to Adam, and Adam, if you will, committed treason, right? He gave it over to Satan. And that's why Satan is the god of this earth. God with a little g, okay? Because he does, we have power over him. We have been given the authority. So the work of Christ and the Father is carried out through us, the body of Christ. So by command, we rebuke and command evil spirits to stop and leave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just command that. You see that you need to do that in a certain instance. In your own sphere of influence, especially with your family, you have that authority very much so. You can command sickness to leave. You can command worry and discomfort and confusion. If you have a family member that is fighting depression, you just command that depression to leave. And this is not praying to God. This is what really has to sink in. You don't pray to God for this to happen. He already gave you the authority to do it yourself. So he's not going to do it for you. You have to know your rights. You have to know what you've been given. One thing that I know many people who will argue with me, I've got an engineering background, very logical people I've always worked with all my life, and demons to them it's a fairy tale. You know, they don't believe it. Okay. But I just heard this said by Charles Kraft. Pastor sent me a note. Look up Charles Kraft. He's got a lot to say on this subject. And demons are not psychological problems. And here's what Charles Kraft said. Psychological problems don't have a conversation with you. Right? They don't talk back with you. They don't engage in a conversation with you. Demons do. I mean, I've never had, I don't think I ever want to, but I've never been in that situation. But the fact that many deliverances, people who have the gift of deliverance and exercise this authority very well, will engage a person that has a demon and ask the demon questions, and the demon will answer the questions. There was an instance where this woman was being, it was Hagen that was interviewing this woman, and he discerned that there was an evil spirit in her, and he asked that spirit, what do you think gives you the right to be in her? And the spirit answered, her sister. So then Hagen asked the woman, do you have to forgive your sister? And the woman says, oh yeah, I've had problems with her for a long time. I haven't forgiven her. And he says, you have to take out the garbage before you take out the rats. Like, what does that mean? The garbage is what you carry yourself is your own problem. It's her unforgiveness of her sister is the garbage in this case. It says, before you cast out the demon, take out the garbage, because the rats feed on the garbage. Okay, so you get the person to forgive or get through the problem she's having that's causing her to allow demons to be in her. So that's, he suggests that you first think about that. It takes a lot of discernment, I guess, to do this. I don't profess to know how to do it, but that makes so much sense that demons will have a conversation with you. They are not, okay, psychological, blah, blah, blah. They're for real. So he tells a story of one of his visions in here, which I'm going to read to you now, if you allow me. It says that the demon that Jesus, that's the next slide, please. Jesus refused to deal with this particular demon. Before I read it, not a single time in the New Testament will you find that the church was ever told to pray that God the Father or Jesus would do anything against the devil. That was a surprise to me. Okay. We are told to do something about him. Again, we've been given the power, we've been given the authority. That's our job. Okay? I guess God the Father and Jesus are very busy doing other things. But we gotta take care of some business, you know. It's our job. Okay, and because a lot of the central part of this book is this passage I'm going to read you, Jesus gives Hagen references from the Bible to back up what he's telling them, because you'll hear it in a second. So the demon Jesus refused to deal with. In 1952, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me in a vision and talked to me for about an hour and a half about the devil, demons, and demon possession. At the end of that vision, an evil spirit that looked like a little monkey or elf ran between Jesus and me and spread something like a smoke screen or dark cloud. Then this demon began jumping up and down, crying in a shrill voice, "Yakety yak, yakety yak, yakety yak." I couldn't see Jesus or understand what he was saying. Through the entire experience, Jesus was teaching me something. And if you'll be attentive, you'll find the answer here to many things that have troubled you. I couldn't understand why Jesus allowed the demon to make such a racket. I wondered why Jesus didn't rebuke the demon so I could hear what he was saying. I waited a few moments, but Jesus did not take any action against the demon. Jesus was still talking, but I couldn't understand a word he was saying. And I needed to, because he was giving instructions concerning the devil, demons, and how to exercise authority. I thought to myself, doesn't the Lord know I'm not hearing what he wanted me to? I need to hear that. I'm missing it. I almost panicked. I became so desperate, I cried out, "In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to stop." The minute I said that, the little demon hit the floor like a sack of salt. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Well, he said, I command you to stop. Boom, down he went. And the black cloud disappeared. The demon lay there trembling, whimpering, and whining like a whipped pup. He wouldn't look at me. Not only shut up, but get out of here in Jesus' name. I commanded, he ran off. The Lord knew exactly what was in my mind. I was thinking, why didn't he do something, he being Jesus, why didn't he do something about that? Why did he permit it? Jesus looked at me and said, "If you hadn't done something about that, I could not have." Wow. Okay, so this is what grabbed Hagen here. That came as a real shock to me. It astounded me. I replied, "Lord, I know I didn't hear you right. You said you wouldn't, didn't you?" He replied, "No, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't have." I went through this four times with him. He was emphatic about it, saying, no, I didn't say I would not. I said I could not. I said, now, dear Lord, I just can't accept that. I never heard or preached anything like that in my life. I told the Lord I didn't care how many times I saw him in visions. He would have to prove this to me. He's talking to Jesus. He would have to prove this to me by at least three scriptures out of the New Testament, because we're not living under the old. Jesus smiled sweetly and said he would give me four. I said, I read through the New Testament 150 times, and many portions of it more than that. If that is in there, I don't know it. Jesus replied, son, there is a lot in there you don't know. Isn't that awesome? So the scriptural references that he gave, I just wrote them down, but you go through them and you read them, and boy, they are, there's a lot of depth to them. The one that most people know is at James 4:7, which is, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, if you can make him flee, you've got the power, right? You've got the authority and the power. If you just have to resist him, and he'll go. Okay, here's some limitations. Next slide, please. The authority over demon spirits, we have authority over demon spirits, not human wills. If somebody doesn't want to stop whatever they're doing because they have a demon in them, if they're enjoying that for some perverted reason, you can't get that demon out of them. So you have the limits to our authority are, first of all, we have full authority over our own household, over your family members. Even if you have an unsaved family member, it comes to pass that they'll be saved if you claim it, if you declare it. You know, Satan, get your hands off my brother. Okay, he belongs to Jesus. He shall be saved. And then just declare it with authority. But you have limited authority over others and their unbelief. If they're not related to you, because free will, again, is the driver. God gave us free will. He doesn't want robots to love him and admire him. He wants people with free will to surrender themselves to him so that we show that we really love him, that it's not a forced thing. So if there's a person with unbelief or the free will to choose not to choose life, which is hard to explain to people when he told us, you know, here's all this bad stuff, here's all this good stuff, choose life, you know, and people won't. People will just choose not to. Well, they'll choose to do the wrong thing. And one evidence of that, and there's multiples, but at the man at the pool of Bethesda, you know, Jesus first asked him before he attempted to heal him, do you want to be made well? So you'd think that a guy has been there for 38 years at the pool, waiting to get into the pool when it's stirred by the angel, and he gets beat to it, and he can't make it. So 38 years, do you want to be well? When I read that on my own, I thought that was an odd question from Jesus to ask him that. But now I think I understand. And then in John 4:4 and in Mark 6:4-5, when Jesus was with his family in his own town, he says, a prophet has no honor in his own country. He could not do any miracles there. That if he could stop Jesus from doing miracles, you know that God has laid down some rules that he will not violate. you know, because he's not going to change his word. And the last slide. Here's a verse that we all know very well. We have the ability, the authority, the power to bind on earth. What's bound on earth is bound in heaven. What's loose on earth is loose in heaven. And you can rephrase that by saying, what you allow to happen on earth, we're allowing it, is allowed in heaven. And so what we bind on earth is bound, period. Bound in heaven, bound on earth. So it's, because he says, it's whatever you bind on earth. It's us that are doing the binding and the loosing. So we're allowing good things, we force good things to happen. We're allowing bad things to happen when we don't address them. You can't pray or ask God to do what he's given us the authority to do. It's our job. So know your rights and stand on them. Okay, if you know the word, get in the word, know what that means, know what rights you have, and just stand on that. And just remember, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's power. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Hope you got something out of that.
Yes. Okay, thank you. It's
this one? Yeah, Carol's asking me if this is still available in print, you mean? It is. I forgot where I just got this. We just got this. Not too long ago. Yeah. Yeah, and there's a list of, there's a book about his visions in here that I just have to get now, because if he talked for an hour and a half with Jesus, that's pretty cool.
And if you just go on YouTube and you put in Kenneth Hagin, You put down the Believer's Authority, it'll come up. And they have a lot of the old, it's not even a video. You just hear him speaking, his sermons. So there's many on there. So you go to YouTube, you put in his name, and a whole bunch of stuff will pop up.
Thank you. You've done a wonderful job, or you did a wonderful job, whichever is correct. We all know the story about the Jesus casting the demons out of the Gadarene demoniac. I think Jesus, okay, and I believe his name was Legion. Jesus asked him his name. He says it's Legion because we are many, and the demons knew what was about to happen, and they begged Jesus, please don't send us to the abyss before our time. Well, why Jesus had compassion, and they said, well, please send us into those pigs. So Jesus had compassion, which kind of baffles me, and he sent them into the pigs. Well, needless to say, the pigs went down the mountainside, and that was the end of the pigs. But there's something that very subtle here that I think we should learn, okay? We have authority to send demons to the abyss. And if you do that, they're not going to mess around with anybody anymore because they're in there forever and ever and ever. And so, you know, when I exercise that authority, I always tell them where to go. Okay? Thank you.
Anybody else? The Believer's Authority. Believer's authority. by Kenneth E. Hagin. Yeah.
That Sunday is... is Sundays our day for Heritage Sunday. And we're asking each and every one to come dress if you know what your DNA and what region you come from. Come dress in your authentic outfits or either carry your flag, depending on where you're from. And we also, Ms. Joseph is asking everyone to make a little dish. And we're going to have tables out there just to get a taste of where you're from. So we're asking you to do that. And please let me just know so we'll know how many tables to set up and what you're going to bring. We will appreciate it. We want this to be a big day. Okay, it's a sign up. There's a sign-up sheet at the information desk. Thank you.
One more announcement, and we'll break up after prayer. I just forgot.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to remind everyone who wants to come out tomorrow at 6:30 a.m. Manna, Thursday morning manna. It is an awesome time to spend with the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for loving us enough to seat us next to you, Lord. We praise you. We ask that your loving kindness will surround our families, our circumstances, Father. Those things that we don't have the authority to do, we ask you to do it, to do them, to intervene in our lives, Lord. We submit to you, Father. We thank you. We love you, Lord. Praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.